welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines. This episode is brought to you by Amazon.com. If you plan doing any online shopping, first go to otrwesterns.com/Amazon, and that will actually just take you to Amazon. We get a little bit of a commission off of that. Again, otrwesterns.com/Amazon. Use that next time you shop online. The next one we have comes from July 20th, 1954, and the title is Decoy of Death. This is episode 189.
General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, and Cheerios, the oat cereal ready to eat, present
The Silver Eagle! A cry of the wild, a trail of danger, a scarlet rider of the Northwest Mounted serving justice with the swiftness of an arrow. The Silver Eagle! Frontier of adventure and peril. The lone, mysterious North, where one man dedicated to the motto of the Canadian Northwest Mounted Police faces danger and death to bring in the lawless and maintain the right. The most famous Mountie of them all, the Silver Eagle. The transcribed record and events dealing with our Silver Eagle case after this message.
Champions are made, not born. If anyone knows that's true, it's Wheaties champion Bob Lemon, outstanding pitcher for the Cleveland Indians. Here's his story. Bob played infield at Wilson High. That's where he got his batting eye. He worked instead of merely wishing. To be a champ was Bob's ambition. He chose Wheaties for top condition. A pitcher now, Bob made his mark. He still relies on Wheaties' spark. Because Bob Lemon, a steady Wheaties eater for 19 years, knows Wheaties gives him this important energy bonus. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Burn it in, Bob. Keep him swinging. Hey, hey, hey!
He's on his way.
On his way.
He's on his way.
On his way.
Get on your way with Wheaties. Cause champions are made, not born.
Yes, sir.
Get on your way.
Get on your way.
Get on your way with Wheaties. Breakfast of champions.
And now our Silver Eagle adventure, Decoy for Death. John Turkey was a town banker, a small community in Western Canada. To his employees at the bank, he was a strict master whose word was absolute law. But at home, the real head of the house was his sharp-tongued wife, Abigail. One evening, as he returned home from the bank.
That you, John?
Yes, my dear. Is dinner ready?
It soon will be. Just sit down and wait.
Yes, my dear.
Anything important happened today?
No. No. Bank running smoothly as usual. There's a Mountie in town passing through on patrol, one they call the Silver Eagle.
Sergeant West?
That's right. He's traveling with that big French-Canadian friend of his, Joe Bedeau.
I hope you told him about Sam Boga.
Why, no, I didn't think to mention that.
You didn't mention it? Even though he may have killed that woman?
No, Abigail, we don't know that anything's wrong.
No, and we never will unless the police do something. Where is he? The sergeant, I mean.
Well, last I saw, he and his friend were having supper at the Maple Leaf Cafe.
Then you march right back downtown and tell him the whole business.
No, Abigail, there's no call for us poking our nose into something that don't concern us.
If murder doesn't concern us, I'd like to know what does. We could all be murdered in our beds and you listen to a thing about it.
Well, how could I if I were murdered?
John Perkey, the truth is you haven't got enough backbone. Well, if you won't do anything, I will. I'm going to the Maple Leaf Cafe and talk to the sergeant right now.
Because that'd be a pretty good dealer. Those last two steaks just hit the spot. I sure like to eat.
You've got an appetite like a hippopotamus.
Hippowetamus?
A hippopotamus. He has a jaw that long.
Son of a gumdrop. How he get his shirt on?
Sergeant West!
Pueblo, here come Banker's wife. She got sure like you for what you call it.
I was hoping I'd find you here.
Good evening, Mrs. Berkey.
You may not think so when you hear what I have to tell you.
By the way, this is my friend, Tobado.
Bonsoir, madame.
We've met before. He sat on my hat at the church benefit.
Sorry about that.
What's wrong, Mrs. Berkey?
That's what I'm counting on you to find out.
I don't understand you.
Do you know Sam Bogart?
Yes, at least I know who he is. He has a little sheep ranch near town, doesn't he?
That's right. I have a suspicion that he's guilty of murder.
Murder? You'd better explain that.
Well, about 2 months ago, he brought a woman out to his ranch.
Who was she?
Well, he claimed she was his sister. Said she came out from the east to stay with him. That may or may not have been the truth, but anyhow, that woman has disappeared.
How do you know?
Because I haven't seen hide or hair ever since, that's why.
Perhaps she doesn't care to come into town.
I've gone out there 3 times to pay her a sociable visit. Every time, Sam Bogart turned me away. Said she wasn't feeling well. Wouldn't even let me in the house.
I see.
And there's something else. Now, Sam Bogart doesn't make $500 in a whole year. But right after she came, my husband told me that Sam deposited $5,000 in the bank.
Under my palm, that'd be a lot of money.
You bet it's a lot of money. And if you ask me, he got it from that poor woman. She was probably one of them mail-order brides you read about. He lured her out here just to get his hands on that money. And then he killed her.
That's a mighty serious charge, Mrs. Berkey.
Your duty is plain, Sergeant.
What are we going to do, mon ami? I guess we better ride out there and investigate.
You suppose something really do happen to woman, mon ami?
No telling. We'll see what Bogart has to say.
Oh, you, Sergeant.
Evening, Sam.
Bonsoir, my friend.
How do you go?
May we step inside?
Sure. Come in. What can I do for you?
I understand your sister's staying here with you.
Why, yeah. That is, she was staying here.
Where is she now?
She left a few days ago. Went back east.
Oh? Where'd she go?
Toronto.
Can you give me her address there?
Her address? Oh, say, now, look, Sergeant, what's this all about? Why all the questions?
Your sister wasn't seen after she came here, Sam. Frankly, let her out of suspicion. I just want to make sure nothing happened to her.
Oh, that's it. I suppose that old windbag Abigail Perky put you up to this.
You still haven't answered my question.
Well, what do you want to know?
Her address in Toronto.
I don't know her address.
Okay, blood. She'd be your own sister, my friend.
She don't have a home of her own. She boards in a hotel.
Don't you know which one?
No, I don't.
Do you mind if I search your house?
You're doggone right, I mind.
Why, if you've got nothing to hide?
Because I don't like the idea, that's why. I'm not going to let a red coat poke around my house just to satisfy some nosy old woman.
I can understand how you feel, but don't you realize you're only making things look more suspicious? Why not submit?
Have you got a search warrant?
I can get one.
Well, you haven't got one yet.
Well, you better clear out. Son of a fool, you talk kind of tough, my friend. Maybe Joe...
Never mind, Joe. He's within his rights. Come along.
Who are you, mon ami?
Man told me to check, Sergeant. Just remember this.
Some castle. What we do now, Jim?
Only one thing I can do. Go to the justice of the peace and get a search warrant. You stay here and keep a watch on the house. Ride with me as far as that line of trees and wait there.
What if he try to leave before you come back?
If he does, we'll know something's wrong. Don't try to stop him, but follow him.
Okie dokie.
Let's mount. Steady, battle. Sam Bogart had pulled aside one of the window shades slightly and was staring out into the moonlit darkness. He stood there for a few moments, watching as the Mountie and a big French Canuck rode off. Then he turned and went to a back room of the house.
Well, we're in trouble, DuBois.
What do you mean? Who was it?
A Mountie.
A Mountie?
Yeah, the one they call the Silver Eagle.
That is bad. What did he want?
Banker's wife. That old busybody I told you about must have gone to him and told him my sister disappeared. So now he comes around looking for her.
Oh. What did you tell him?
What could I tell him? I said she'd left. Went back east. Now he's gone for a search warrant.
But if he searches here...
Yeah, if he finds out the truth, you know what that'll mean. Once that man gets on a trail, he never quits. Not till you're swinging at the end of a rope.
You're in this deep, Bogart. You're an accessory to murder.
Never mind all that. I know what I'm up against. All you gotta do is start thinking. Fast.
Joe Badeau was waiting in the grove of trees when a Silver Eagle returned with a search warrant.
Battle. You'll get the search warrant, mon ami?
Yes, right here in my pocket.
Signed by the Justice of the Peace.
I think you're not going to need that after all.
Why?
Our friend, Monsieur Bogart, he copped the flea. I mean, he flee the coop.
When?
Well, just a little while after you leave. He go out back way to stable and hitch up buckboard. And don't be off.
What do you mean?
Before he drive away, he go back in the ranch house. And when he come out, he carry a big, long bundle.
A big, long bundle? You mean...
Hey, just about big enough for human body.
Which way did he go?
He take trail away from town. Head south.
Let's go after him. Come on, Battle.
Up, my little one.
Instead of following the trail, Amati and Joe took a shortcut through the hills, hoping to overtake the fugitive. As they urged their horses down a steep grade, they could make out a buckboard and team rattling along the trail below.
There he goes, Mother Mia.
I'll fire a shot so he'll know we want him to stop.
The driver of the buckboard didn't stop, but Amati and Joe soon overtook him.
Stop your team, Bogart! Is that you, Sergeant?
Didn't you hear my signal?
I heard the shots, if that's what you mean. Well, I thought I was being attacked by Rudy.
You mind telling me where you're going?
I figured I'd take a trip down to Medicine. Seems to be crazy time of night to take sleep, my friend.
What are you carrying in your wagon?
A bedroll and some clothes.
I'll see for myself.
Now, hold on, Sergeant. You've got no right to go poking in my personal belongings.
I have a search warrant this time, Bogart. That'll cover a search of your wagon as well as your ranch house. Keep them covered, Joe.
Oui, mon ami.
I'll see what's wrapped up in this fawn bundle.
Back to our thrilling Silver Eagle adventure in just a few seconds. But first, listen to this.
This is Mel Allen, sports announcer. Maybe you're interested in what big league scouts look for in young players. Take the case of Harvey Keene of Detroit, voted Rookie of the Year in 1953. Harvey could hit, sure. But more than that, the scouts noticed he soaked up instruction, practiced hard, followed a good training diet, including Wheaties. Now, I happen to know Harvey's been eating Wheaties 17 years now, since he was 6. Scouts tell me too many boys dream of waking up and finding themselves champions. What they don't realize is champions are made, not born. That's a fact. Champions are made, not born. Now, I've seen average players make themselves into champions, but it calls for hair trigger condition. For that kind of condition, choose food that sparks you with energy. Champions choose Wheaties. There must be a reason, and this is it. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. If you want to get on your way to the top, keep in mind champions are made, not born. Get on your way with Wheaties, breakfast of champions.
Back to the Silver Eagle, Sergeant Jim West of the Mounties, and his stirring adventure, Decoy for Death. While Joe kept an eye on Sam Bogart, the Silver Eagle climbed into the back of the wagon and proceeded to untie the long, sinister-looking bundle which Sam had been carrying. But as he struck a match and examined the contents, he was amazed to find...
Well, I'll be... What'd you find, mon ami?
Just a rolled-up straw mattress, a blanket, and some clothing.
Oh, God. I suppose you were counting on finding a dead body. What we do now, Jim?
Wait till I climb down from the wagon.
Well, are you satisfied, Mary?
No, I'm not. We'll go back and search your house.
You searched out in the stable, and he's been poking around the house for the last half hour. Well, did you find a corpse?
No, but I did find these.
A woman's clothes.
Yes, a dress, coat, a hat, and a veil.
Where do you find those, Jean?
They were stuffed in one of the dresser drawers.
You explained that, my friend.
I reckon my sister must have left them here. By mistake, I suppose.
That's no crime.
Where did you say she lives?
In Toronto.
Where did you come from? I mean, before you moved out west to Alberta.
Me? I lived in Montreal.
Montreal, eh?
That's right. Well, am I free to go now?
No, not yet. I'll have to ask you to stay here at your ranch till we find out definitely what happened to your sister. Come along, Joe.
Wait a moment, man. What you think, mon ami?
I don't know, but I'm fairly sure of one thing.
And what's that?
I think Bogart tricked us. He must have known we'd keep a watch on him. When he left here with that bundle, he was doing it for our benefit. He wanted us to chase after him before we had a chance to search the house.
What would that do him? We'll come back and search anyhow. Dead body cannot walk away.
No, but a live person could.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
No use going into it now. So far, it's just a hunch. Before I do anything, I want to talk to Mrs. Perky again. In the meantime, I wish you'd stay here.
The Silver Eagle.
Evening, Mr. Perky. I'd like to speak to your wife if she's home.
Oh, why, certainly, Sergeant West. Come in.
Thanks.
Abigail.
Yes, who is it? Oh, it's you, Sergeant. Tell me, what did you find out? Were my suspicions correct?
I don't know. His sister is not at the ranch. He claims she went back east to Toronto.
You mark my words, Sergeant. That man is lying.
Now, Abigail.
I think you're right, Mrs. Perky.
You hear that, John?
Yes, my dear.
I'd like to have a little more information.
You just ask me anything you want to know.
How did you first learn about this woman?
Well, I saw him driving away from the railway station. He was sitting up beside Sam Bogart on the seat of the buckboard.
Did you get a look at her face?
No. No, I didn't. She was wearing a veil. Besides, it was rather dark out. It was evening. She must have come in on the 7:15 for medicine hat.
Did you speak to Sam or the lady?
No, I didn't get the chance. But I saw him the next day at the general store. That's when he told me she was his sister.
Can you describe her at all? I mean, was she large or small?
Well, now, stop to think of it. She was, rather a large woman. Seemed a bit taller than him.
One thing more. You told me this woman arrived about 2 months ago. Can you remember the exact date?
Oh, land sakes, that's rather difficult now. Let me think. I remember it was the day after Mrs. Jessup sent John for my help. Poor child. And, that was, yes. That's right. It must have been April 24th.
The 24th? Then it does tie in. I have something here in my pocket. Have you ever seen this before?
Well, that's a reward notice. Read it, John.
Frank DuBois, wanted for murder in Montreal. Say now, I've seen this notice before. There's one stuck up in the post office.
That's right. The mounted police have been looking for him for the past 2 months.
Well, what does this have to do with Sam Bogart's sister?
Well, it may seem far-fetched, but I think this man may have been masquerading as Bogart's sister.
What's that?
I think he's been using Bogart's ranch as a hideout.
That's fantastic. I tell you, she was one of their mail-order brides.
Oh, shut up! Abigail.
John. What?
You'll notice it says that he was last seen in Winnipeg on April 22nd, and he was believed to be heading west. His height is given as 6 foot, which means he's about 2 inches taller than Bogart.
Oh, by heavens, you may have something there, Sergeant.
That's another point. He killed a bank messenger, and the loot amounted to a little more than
$5,000. $5,000? Well, say, that's how much Bogart put in the bank the day after the woman showed up.
Your wife has already told me. He probably had to pay over the loot to Bogart in exchange for a safe hideout.
Well, what do you intend to do now?
Well, first I'm going down to the railway station and have the telegraph operator get in touch with Montreal to learn if Sam Bogart told us the truth. Is that for me, Scotty?
Hey, it is what you've been waiting for. Here, we're laying it through from medicine hat. Reach in a copy of spoon. Bogart, Iron, Robbery, 792. There you are, Sergeant.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Scotty. Scotty Battle. All right, let's go on.
No, Abigail, there's no sense waiting up. If the sergeant finds out anything, he'll let you know in the morning.
I intend to sit up all night if necessary, and Friday morning... There he is now.
Well, I'll go see.
Reach, mister.
A gun?
Yeah, and it's got a touchy trigger, so step inside and don't argue.
John, who is this man, and why is
he... Shut up, you old hen.
Why is that man on the reward notice?
DuBois, Frank DuBois.
Well, you know me. In that case, you know, I've already killed one person, and two more won't make no difference.
What do you want?
I want money. Money for a getaway down to the States. And I want safe transportation away from this neck of the woods. You're going to provide both, my friend. You and your nosy old windbag of a wife.
Oh, Battle. Comme ça va, you?
Well, thank you so long. I was waiting for a reply to a telegraph message. Anything happened?
The man, no, me. Sure, we're right here, and this time he don't drag away.
And let's talk to him again. This time I think we might find out the truth. Hello, Bogart.
You back again?
Yes, we're coming inside. I have a few more questions to ask you.
Well, what is it this time?
Have you ever been in trouble with the law?
Me? The law? Of course not.
You're lying, Bogart. You served 5 years in Quebec for armed robbery.
Oh, you found out about that.
Yes, I wired the police in Montreal.
All right, so I've got a record. What about it?
Ever hear of a man named Frank DuBois?
Frank DuBois? No, at least I don't recall that name.
You should. His picture's been plastered all over Western Canada for the past 2 months. He was in prison the same time you were, also in Quebec. Did you know him?
I
tell the truth, Bogart.
He's my cellmate.
I see. You want to go on and tell me the rest of the story, or shall I tell you?
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, yes, you do. That woman who came to your ranch was actually Frank DuBois.
A woman named Frank? Sacre bleu.
You brought him here in disguise and hid him out for $5,000.
No.
Where did he go when he left here?
I tell you, I don't know nothing about it.
I'm warning you, Bogart. You're already an accessory after the fact. If DuBois kills again, I'll see that you pay the full penalty of the law.
All right. I'll talk. He was here. He got away while you and Joe were trailing me.
Where'd he go? He asked me where the banker lived. He said he was sore at the old lady for sending you out here. I told him to forget her and clear out.
Come on, Joe. We better make sure she's all right.
When the Monty and Joe arrived at the banker's house, all was dark and silent.
They must be dead.
I wonder.
You want Joe busted open?
Go ahead.
All right, stay there until I light the lamp, then we'll take a look around. Meanwhile, a buggy drawn by two horses was just pulling up at the rear of the bank.
Oh, Duke.
All right, climb up, mister. You too, Phone Face.
How dare you talk to me that way?
Go on, get moving. Well, don't stand there. Open the door.
I have to find the key first. Here it is.
Go inside and light the lamp. Remember, I'm holding this gun on your wife, so don't try no funny stuff.
Very well.
You'll pay for this if I
have... Shut up.
All right, miss.
Inside, Prune Face.
Oh, please. Oh,
now get busy. The work is done.
And there's your money. Now what?
Who runs the bank when you're not here?
My chief teller, Donald McClure.
All right. There's pen and ink and paper. Sit down and write him a note. I'll tell you what to write. My wife and I have gone to Medicine Hat.
My wife.
We'll be back in 3 or 4 days.
Where is it? There's someone at the front door.
I hear it.
They must have seen the light. I'll have to answer it.
Go ahead. Tell them you're working late. And don't let on I'm here or your wife gets a bullet.
For heaven's sake, John, don't get in the way. You don't want him to kill me, do you?
No, my dear.
What do you intend to do with us after you leave here? Are you crazy?
Shut up. I want to hear what's going on out front.
What is that?
An arrow with an eagle feather attached to it.
An eagle feather?
That means the silver eagle. He's out there at the back window.
There, no, monsieur.
What?
Show me at window.
And I'm right here, the boy. Drop your gun.
Hey, where did you...
My arm.
I warned you to drop your gun. I'll stand where you are. Don't try any more false moves.
Abigail, are you all right?
Am I all right? Of course I'm all right.
Well, I'll be...
Okay, what happened?
Mrs. Purdy fainted. I'll try to bring her to.
No, please. Not for a day or two. It's so peaceful.
Wow, wait till you kids see the big surprise waiting for you at your grocer's. Listen, when you buy the specially marked Cheerios package, you get a free pack of dentine gum. Yes, sir. There's a regular 5-cent pack of dentine gum right inside the Cheerios package. Now, there's a good reason why Cheerios brings you the pack of dentine. You see, Cheerios is made from energy-packed oats, made to give you vitamins and minerals you need for healthy nerves, good red blood, and naturally good sound teeth. So, to help you keep those teeth sound, Cheerios offers you a pack of dentine gum because dentine is especially made to help keep teeth clean and white. So ask Mother to get that special Cheerios package tomorrow. Tell her to get the big yellow Cheerios package that says free dentine gum right on the front. You'll find your free pack of dentine inside. Today's story of the Great Northwest was written by James Lawrence. Jim Amici stars in the part of Jim West. Joe Badeau is played by Jacques Lester. The Silver Eagle is a copyrighted transcribed feature of Jewel Radio and Television Productions. This is Bill O'Connor. This program came to you from Chicago. This is ABC Radio Network.
Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed this episode of OTRWesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/OTRWesterns. And don't forget to rate this episode in iTunes, otrwesterns.com/iTunes. This episode is copyright under the attribution, non-commercial, share-alike copyright. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/copyright. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope you have a good day.